Today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, thanking you, Lord, once again for your goodness, for your grace, and your mercy that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, we thank you for this ministry. We thank you for each and every person that is here, that is a member, and each and every listener, Heavenly Father, of this word. We know, Lord, that your word does not return void. We pray, Heavenly Father, that each of us are strengthened and edified, Heavenly Father, not just for this time, but throughout the week and for the rest of our days, that, Lord, we might serve you, Heavenly Father, and recognize that there are dangers, Heavenly Father, but there is nothing more rewarding than eternal life with you. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we magnify you even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so Sister Miranda just kind of talked about a few things, and I heard her saying that God gives us free will, that God doesn't go around making us do things, which is definitely so true. He has given us that ability. He has given us authority over many things in our lives. If we read, there are things that go on each and every day in the spiritual, that God tells us that we need to stomp those things down, that we need to push away from certain things because it's not beneficial for us spiritually or physically. He has given us this ability to have, especially as believers, both through his word and through the Holy Spirit, which are there to guide our thinking. Our thinking is very important because when it is off track, it can lead us in a direction that we do not want to be in. Things that, again, detrimental to our careers, to our reputation, to our family, to our lives. And most of all, we also have to recognize that our thinking is what leads us to that point in our eternal life, to either where we want to be or where we don't want to be. The Holy Spirit, when Jesus left and when he ascended into heaven, Jesus left the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was then imparted upon each of us, and he gave that to us to counsel us and to give us insight into different things that are going on. As we hear his voice and as we get more and more accustomed to hearing what the Holy Spirit says to us, then it helps us in our walk in every way. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he says this, and she has it on the board, so we're going to keep moving. It says, "And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, I'm going to back up just a little bit where it says, whether the gods which your father serves that were on the other side of the flood, Joshua was marking a time. So he wasn't talking about the great flood. He was talking about when the Hebrews were leaving out of Egypt and the Egyptians were after them and they went through the Jordan River and the river separated and the Egyptians went through and all of the water killed all of the warriors that were going through. That's what he was talking about. So he was marking this time, and he was talking to them. Joshua was talking to them. This is the time, during this time. And he wanted them to make certain that they knew what was going on during that time that he was talking to them. And he also said about the gods of the Amorites. The gods of the Amorites were polytheistic. They had many beliefs, many gods during that time. And so he's making it known, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, you have a choice. We all have a choice. We all get to make a choice. And our thinking is one of the things that help to define the choices that we make, right? So when we are dwelling in that land, we need to make sure that our household will serve the Lord. He tells us, choose this day whom you will serve, We have to make a choice. It's not very complicated. People make this thing complicated. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 7, it says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. This choice is not hard. You're going to make a choice either way, whether you say it with your mouth or not. It is not complicated. Again, the prophet Daniel in chapter 9, verse 7 made it very, very clear. He says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. Who is thee? It's the Lord. So we don't have any righteousness. When we start thinking our own thoughts void of God, we get confusion of faces. That confused look that you have when things are going on bad in your life that you don't understand, or when you kind of step away from God sometimes and things don't go in the direction that you want it to go, that confused look that you have on your face, that's what we get in our lives. Now, it may seem on the surface that things are going great, but maybe not so, because, you know, it can always look good on the surface, but you know deep within your heart whether or not something is the way it should be. But when we are devoid of God, confusion of faces. With God, righteousness belongs to him, and righteousness will exude from us. However, God says this also in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. This is what we must do in order to make those the correct choices and to do things the right way. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We're talking about choice. You have the choice not to trust in the Lord. You have the choice to trust in the Lord. So in every situation, whether it's healing that you may need if you're sick, whether it's in your finances that you need when you need money or you need other things to take care of things in your lives, when things are not going well in your heart or spiritually, all of these things can be found in the Lord. How do we find them? Do we trust in ourselves? No, we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And we don't lean unto our own understanding, because our understanding leads to confusion of faces, as the prophet Daniel said. So, again, it's very simple. It's not complicated. The prophet Daniel says, when we move away from righteousness, we get this confusion of faces. Amen? So as we choose, we want to choose God's way. We don't want to trust in our own understanding. We don't want to lean to our own understanding. We want to acknowledge God, and we want him to direct our paths. So this is where many times as Christians and those that do not believe get off track, and they become what I call the acronym that I'm going to use here. They become a CINO. I just made this up. CINO, a Christian in name only, and that's the topic of our message today. They become CINOs, Christians in name only, and that is not what we want to be. That is not where we want to be. Nobody in here looks like a CINO, but we're not trying to be that anyhow. So the dilemma with, we recognize that there is only one way to heaven. Correct? It's through Jesus Christ, through that belief. But therein lies the dilemma with the world and the culture and the things that are going on now. It's one versus many. Over here, we have what we believe, that there's one way to heaven. Over here, there's others that either don't believe that there's a heaven, that there's many ways to heaven, that there's three ways to heaven, or whatever it is that they believe. So I started kind of looking at that, and as I thought of what my topic is, Christians in name only, I was just kind of looking around and doing a little research, and I came across this so-called church, Universal Life Church. I looked at their website, and I wanted to see what that was all about, right? So this so-called church has two, and I went to their site, it has two core tenets. It's ulc.org, two core tenets that ministers must uphold. And so you may say, Brother Chris, why are you talking about this church? Well, many of the apostles, Paul, he went directly to Peter and rebuked him for dealing with the Jews in a certain way, or you know, kind of hiding out and being a little bit deceptive. There's others that talked about other things that we need to know. Now, I'm going to respect the house because it's not our way. I'm not trying to attack a person or anything. What we do is we preach truth. We try to preach the text. And we try to help people to understand that, yes, there are wolves in sheep's clothes. There are people out there. There are ministers out there, or so-called ministers, that their aim is not so much to help to direct you in right living or to help you to avoid things that will make you a Christian in name only. But some of them are okay with you being such a thing, a Christian in name only. So I'm going through this because we have to make sure that as Christians we're smart and that we're not deceived in our thinking. So the two tenets that this United Universal Life Church has for the ministers, and anybody can be a minister. It doesn't matter what. You can just kind of put your name on there and you're a minister. But it says that you do only that which is right. That's the first thing. The second thing, every individual, and I'm reading this, every individual is free to practice their religion however they like, as long as their actions do not impinge upon the rights or freedoms or others of others and are in accordance with the law. Okay. So depending on where you are on earth, that can mean a whole bunch of different things. So let's go back to the first one. Only do that which is right. Okay? So we're going to take time away from this a little bit. Only do that which is right. So what is right? Where does right come from? Who made it up? We believe as Christians that right came from the Ten Commandments. Okay? And then Jesus kind of expounds on that and tells us, well, you know, the greatest of these, you know, he talks about love, that we should love our neighbors as we love ourselves and all of those things. But those that argue against what I just said, that right comes from the Ten Commandments, our morals come from the Ten Commandments, many times they will argue that right just comes from within. It comes from us. So let's just act like that's correct, that right comes from our heart, which I don't believe that, because the Bible tells us that basically we're all corrupt. We're all sinners in need of God's grace. But if that were so, then that would make, in the context of where he was at that time, that would make Hitler right, because his belief was that anybody that was a Jew or that was not like them, and they were trying to create a pure state at that time. And we're not talking too long ago. You know, we're not even 100 years out from that. So Hitler believed that what he was doing was right. Did it come from his heart? I don't know where it came from. Well, and it probably did. But in his eyes, what he was doing was right. So they're saying, do only that which is right. Now, they go back in the second part and say, well, you know, as long as it was in accordance with the law. Well, that was law in Germany at that time, which Hitler was doing. He was right. Somewhere there must be a moral code for us to get to right. And if it's the God that we believe of the Bible, then we believe that what Hitler did was wrong. So there's a contract, there's a confusion there. There's Hitler's right, and then there's what God says is right. We're going to stay on what God says is right, because all kinds of evil, all kinds of foolishness, all kinds of thoughts come out of that type of thinking, their concept of right, whatever that is. Because sometimes people start talking about things, and this is just what the devil does. It's his way to get people deceived and to bring chaos, because at the end of all of this, it becomes chaos. So There's this church that I was speaking of. Again, I'm not going to go into a name, but there is a person that is a minister, I guess. He's ordained as a minister of this church. Many of you, if I said his name, would know who this person is. They made some statements several years ago that, you know, well, this person said that, you know, as a kid, he went to church and he was always in church. Always in church. And he made jokes about it, and I guess was mocking, apparently based on what he said. But his statement was that, you know, it's okay for a mosque to show homage to Jesus. And I guess it is, if that's what they want to do. His side was, as a Christian, it should be okay that we all live united and that we all respect one another and that we all worship together. Hold on. God sent his only son to die for us, not for us to worship any and everything. And to the point here, this church, our so-called church, is open to every faith and every belief. Not. This is where all of this unity and diversity and all of this comes to play when we do this type of stuff, when we're Christians in name only. We start falling back. See, Christians in name only don't have anchors. What does an anchor do? You're in a boat and you want that boat not to move, you throw out something heavy that can either sit on the bottom or sit to where it holds that boat and keeps it from moving. So when the tide, when the water starts moving back and forth or the wind, your boat is not taken off somewhere else that you don't want it to go. But as a Christian in name only, you don't have an anchor, because ultimately the culture is going to keep swinging. The winds are going to keep coming back and forth, pushing, always trying to move that anchor. But when we're anchored in Christ, when we're anchored in God, and we also understand that the word then is rooted in us as our anchor, that fear of God is the thing that anchors us down. That consistency that we should have keeps us from following this type of thinking of, hey, it's okay. Doesn't matter what you think. We're going to get to heaven as long, you know, you can have your religion. We're going to get to heaven as long as we do right. Okay, what if this person over here, if a person over here goes off and murders 10 people, most people are going to say, it's probably okay to take him out. So that's now right. That's not what Jesus said, though. Jesus had a different perspective on that. And that's what we follow as Christians. But if we're just Christians in name only, again, we can flow with anything. Well, yeah, you know, right is good. We're not that bad. We should help everybody, and we should. I'm not speaking against that as Christians, believers. We should. But we also have to make sure that we have enough of a fence around us, making certain that we don't lose our way. Amen? So we must stay anchored as Christians. We can't just go from here to there following the culture. God has showed us some things that he personally wants us to do. Let's look at one who was not a Christian in name only. His name was Paul. He had an experience on the Damascus Road. Paul obviously was who he was supposed to be because he died for his beliefs. Not only him, but there are many that are calling themselves apostles now. So I want to give you a little information about these apostles that were following after Jesus that established what is now the church that we have today. Paul wrote a good bit of the New Testament, and let's see what their fates are. Now, I'm not talking bad about any one person in any way, shape, form, or fashion. If you call yourself apostle or bishop or this or that, that's fine. But these are the apostles that we all know about. If you believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, who the Bible says he is, then this was the fate of the apostles. They were not Christians in name only. They died for what they believed. And this is how they died. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross. Thomas, Didymus, the twin, he was martyred. We don't know exactly how he died. Philip, he was cruelly put to death by the proconsul. Doesn't say exactly how he died. Matthew was possibly stabbed to death. We're not 100% sure, but he died a gruesome death as well. Bartholomew or Nathaniel was beheaded or flayed alive, basically just pulled apart. James, the lesser, he was martyred alive. Simon the Zealot, he was killed because he wouldn't sacrifice to the gods. Matthias was burned to death. James was executed by the sword. The only one that we know of that was not martyred was John. That's the John that took care of Mary when Jesus asked him to do so on the cross. This is what the apostles did. They weren't out here playing games. They weren't out here just saying stuff to get money or trying to manipulate people or taking stuff and, you know, send me $50 and I'm going to send you this magic pill so you can give it to somebody and they get healed. Now, and I've heard all kinds of things, not even just through research, but just through the years, hearing ministers get up and talk about certain things that were just ridiculous if they call themselves to be a minister. But these people that we just mentioned, these apostles, they gave everything because what they believed, and they did not fear this type of death because they believed that what they would receive in return was far greater than the temporary pain that they would have. The, you know, as we think in our minds, when I leave, I'm gonna miss all my friends. No, they knew that there was a greater reward. They were not Christians in name only. They were true Christians because they saw, they read the things that they saw, they believed. They talked to people, and there was no turning them back. They didn't care about life here on earth. They didn't care about bawling out or whatever. Bawling out for them was going out in this manner. It was a award for them to die for Christ. I'm not telling anybody to go out and get yourself martyred. That's not what this message is about. But it is about us not being fearful to be Christians during this time that we live in. This person that I was speaking about, whose name I'm still not going to say, that some of you all know, and some of you all, when you're watching, probably shouldn't be watching this person, has this belief, and I prayed for him before I came up here, but the person has this belief that, you know, Christianity should just be able to encompass every other religion. And it's not so. The person went so far as to give one of his children a Christian name, the other child a Muslim name to show his respect. I'm not into all of however they want to do that, but what I do know is that there's only one way to heaven. And as the Bible talks about, if we're wrong, then we're just fools here on earth. But if we're not, God help everybody else that doesn't believe. Because the end, based on what he is saying, is not going to be good for those that are going through. So, how to not be a Christian in name only? Again, as the prophet Daniel said, this isn't hard. Righteousness, confusion of faces. The first thing would be to recognize that every, and this is me, and this is not so much the Bible here, but the first thing would be to recognize that everything you learned as a child in your younger days, especially as a child, is not necessarily true. I remember, riding home and a cat would run across the street and you had to make an X across the window. You're going to have bad luck. So I'd always would say to myself, where did that come from? You know, as I got old, I'm like, that, you know, where did that come from? And so my mom and I would talk about it and we kind of came to the conclusion that, yeah, you know, it's more like a game than us really believing that if the cat run across and you don't mark X across your windshield, that, you know, you're going to have bad luck. So in my mind, especially as a kid, I'm like, well, what were they doing before cars? They would, I guess, just mark the air. But I think a lot of this thinking came from, and I'll tell you all this other little story, and I won't make it long. But I think a lot of it just came from superstitions. And the way many superstitions go, this person was telling me this story that that they were drinking some milk and eating some fish. And their grandfather came and said, ah, don't do that. If you drink milk and eat fish, you're going to die. And they were like, okay, well, grandfather, is that so? And they were like, he was like, yeah, don't do that. Because Miss So-and-so, she drank some milk and she ate some fish and she died. So the person asked him, well, how long do you have to go before, if you drink some milk, before you can eat some fish? So he looked at him perplexed and was like, well, I have to get back with you on that one. But a lot of times this stuff comes from a place of just, we saw this happen, so we're not going to do it, which doesn't necessarily mean, especially if you look at it from a quote-unquote scientific perspective, that that's what's going to happen. Because if so, we'd have had a whole elementary school full of kids that drank milk and ate those little codfish patties that wouldn't be with us anymore. But so we know that that's not true. But a lot of times these things, as we grow up, things that we learn are really just things that people sometimes get mixed up, and they may even come from the Bible about things. And that's why it's so important that we study these things for ourselves. But some of these things can lead you down the wrong road because you're thinking a certain thing. We talked, I think, last time about the mustard seed and what people's perception of that. I won't go down that road right now. But it's things like that that can lead you to thinking or hinder your thinking from growing to be what it should be. So the first thing, recognize that everything that you learned, especially as a child, is not true. So let's start there. And even as an adult in some cases. Number two, the second thing, to not be a Christian in name only, to not be a sinner. Learn the truth. Simple. Learn the truth. In John chapter 8, verse 31, 32, it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Pretty simple. So even all that stuff you may have learned before you knew God, all the stuff you learned as a child, all of these things, you don't have to so much worry about those things if you keep your mind stayed and abide in the word of God. That's where it's at, abiding in the word of the God, learning the truth from the word, allowing God to speak to you. And I think one of the keys is unbusying yourself enough to step back and allow yourself to hear the Holy Spirit. I remember during the time when I first moved to Baton Rouge, my wife and I, we were dating at the time. We were dating, and then later on we got engaged. But I didn't have a whole lot to do here. I would go to work. I even took a second job because I didn't have anything to do. I'm like, okay, I'm sitting around here. I might as well do something. But I'd go to work, do my little second job on the days that I had it. I would play ball, go to the gym, and then I'd come home and I'd read the word. I didn't have a bed. I didn't have a table. I didn't have anything. I had a TV. My wife, girlfriend at the time, had made me some big throw pillows. I had about four of those. I had the blanket that I had when I was in school, a couple other blankets. I don't know what happened to my recliner. Maybe it broke, but that's all I had. So I would come home, I might watch a little TV, eat, and I would sit there and I'd read the Bible on the floor and then fall asleep. I would try to take that time to abide in the word because I knew that there were some things in my head that needed to be unwound, that just weren't right. And it wasn't major things, you know, I wasn't out, or what some may call or define major things, but just things that I knew that God needed to get right with me. I needed to take some time and spend with God. I needed to abide in the word because I needed to learn the truth for myself. I believe a lot of what I learned at the church that I went to as a kid was very good stuff. It wasn't anything that was done, I think, purposely to hurt me. Some of it was my perception when it was given to me. Some of it was I did not study it properly. But I wanted to make certain that I took time so that as I studied, I could hear the Holy Spirit then talking to me. And then also, even now, sometimes I have to draw back like Jesus did. You know, he would draw away from the crowd. Jesus didn't have to do what we did, but he did these things to refresh himself. But in the same way, we have to refresh ourselves so that as we study, we can allow the Holy, we can hear the Holy Spirit. If there's noise and confusion all around us, sometimes we're going to miss what the Holy Spirit says. Sometimes we have to draw back, refresh ourselves, so that we know that as Christians, we're not just those, that we're not just Christians in name only, that we hear what the Holy Spirit has to say for us, say to us, and so that we follow his counsel in the manner that he wants us to follow it. The third thing, stay consistent in your learning. This is where I think, as I spoke about the church that I talked about earlier, the universal life church, that this person, I believe, got off. The person said that grew up as a Christian, was always in the church. I grew up as a Christian, always in the church. Sometimes I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because many times as Christians that grew up in the church, we lose our skepticism about God. We lose that edge that we have. You know, it's no different than a person playing a sport. If you don't think you're that good and you're hungry, man, you stay practicing. You're always at it. You're always trying to get better. But when you're that kid that was good as a kid and you don't have that drive anymore, that kid that wasn't as good, that's always practicing, he usually gets to you and passes you up if you guys are even remotely close. That's just how it works. So as people that grew up in the church, we have to pray and ask God to keep that desire burning for him so that we stay consistent in our learning. But I truly believe that this person who I'm speaking of, whose name I am not going to say, because I truly pray and hope that he finds the Lord and speaks of the error of his way, because it's very erroneous and it's not good. But I truly believe, and I don't know, never talked to him, have no clue, but I can only believe that if he accepted this and truly stayed consistent in learning about the Lord Jesus Christ, learning about God, that there's no way he could have fallen into the trap that the adversary had set for him. And I say this to you all, because when you don't study, it's easy to fall off. It's easy to be a part of the Jim Jones cult, as wild as that seems. But that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to bring us away from truth, from the truth of who God is, so that we can then be pulled and fall off. And it doesn't happen one night. It happens over time. I don't need to do this. I don't have time to read that. I can go on in this direction or in that direction. We can't. We must stay consistent. So we have to stay in it. So in 1 Corinthians, let's go there and see what the Bible says about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Give you just a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, "Therefore, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, studying to show thyself approved." Right? So this is what we're trying to make certain, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have to stay in. We have to be steadfast and unmovable, just as I talked about the boat anchored down, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's when we move away, when we give the devil that little piece and you start following off on some new faith or some new idea that somebody popped up and research those people that come up with those new ideas. See where they were. See what they're talking. See where they were anchored. And even if they were, if it's anything away from what the Word of God says, you need to leave it alone. It's not worth unsecuring your faith in what is true and what's eternal. It's just not. So we have to stay consistent in our learning. I said the first thing, recognize that what you learned as a kid or that you may have learned some time ago may not be true. Learn the truth and stay consistent in your learning. Basically, stay consistent in your learning of the truth. Be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If we do that, then we don't have to worry about all these outside influences. And it always seems as though, as we talk about these people that grew up in the church, that the more money they make, sometimes the crazier they get. And I don't think it's just because the money. I think it's because the money draws them away from the truth. I got to do this. I got to meet this person. I got to make this engagement. I got to do that, right? So I don't have time for what got me here or what for the money that I received. I don't have time for this word anymore that anchored me. I get so sick and tired of hearing about the person that sung in the church as a kid, and now he out singing. Like, that's so good. That ain't good. It's not. You're about to lose your eternity, or you may have lost it already, never to return to it. You're not steadfast. You're not unmovable. You're just tossed around. You're thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. You're thinking so high of yourself that God doesn't even matter to you anymore while you were in the church as a kid singing. It's sickening. And, you know, I don't know if people, I'm sure others call it out, but I'm just going to call it out. There's nothing good in that, as though God can't take care of you. And this is what I hear. You know, well, you know, I don't know if I can make the same money just singing in the church to a few people. Sick of it. Because it's silly. God takes care of his own. I had an opportunity to go to a concert the other night, and it was a gospel artist. It's not important who it was. It was here in town. And I was just so blessed just sitting there. And I'm not a big follower of concerts and gospel music like that. But I just sat there, and I had purposed in my mind before I went. I said, man, I'm just going to walk in there. I'm just going to sit down. I'm not even leaving out during the intermission. I'm just going to sit here and just think upon the goodness of God. And that's what I did. Because here was a person that, and you can usually, guys, you can usually tell. It doesn't matter the race or color or male or female. You usually know the sincerity. Some are more joyous. Some are more, you know, subdued. But it was just sincere. The whole deal was. And all of his music talked about God in one way or another. It wasn't this stuff that you got to, I don't have any hair. I'm scratching my head, not my hair. I'm scratching, listening to some of this stuff like, man, you heard this? I'm like, yeah, I hear it, but that ain't good. And I'm guilty of listening to some of that stuff myself. I don't listen to much of that stuff anymore, hardly ever. I try to focus on things that talk about God because I don't want to get pulled off. I don't want to be one of those in front of God, and I've said it probably maybe just about every time I get up here, but I don't want to be one up here saying, Lord, Lord. And he says, away from me, I never knew you. But Lord, I did all of this. I prophesied, I did this, and we raised the sick and up. Stage left. Go over there with the goats. I want to be over here with the sheep. I don't want to be in any way in that situation. But when people draw themselves away from God, and they start saying things like, well, we can't do this because we don't make the money. That already right there tells you what your focus is. It ain't God in the first place. It should be okay for you to get up and sing and not make a dime if that's what God told you to do. Now, I'm not saying that the gospel artist should just fly around on his own dime and not make a dime. That's not what I'm saying. But if you sold out on this thing, you should know that God is going to take care of you regardless. Otherwise, all of that stuff about what you did in the church when you was a little kid, Sino, Christian in name only. That's all you are. You are of no good. What good are you? What good is salt if the salt loses its saltiness? Mr. Singer that sung in the church when he was a kid, can't do it no more because I got to make this money and I got to be around this one and that one. Who cares? It's worthless. Their worth is only good in Christ. So what's the big hullabaloo? If God called you to do a thing, do it. It's his responsibility to take care of you. And you shouldn't even have to worry about it because he calls himself the many-breasted one. He's going to take care of you and everything that needs to be taken care of. Stop worrying about your name and your reputation and what people think about you. Don't be a Christian in name only. This deception that the adversary is leading Christians in a way that if they don't fall off the wagon, their children can't help but. The culture is that strong right now. It's just drawing people bit by bit because they learned something as a kid. They didn't go back to learn the truth, and they're not staying consistent in their learning. Xenos, Christians in name only. If you have been a Christian in name only, grab a hold of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 10 through 11. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 through 11. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Jesus is the only atonement that we have. We received that. But before we gave our lives to Christ, enemies, we were enemies of the cross. We were enemies of God. And the good news is that we're saved, that we're reconciled to God and saved by his life, by Jesus' life. He paid the price for all of our bad deeds. If you were out driving 100 miles an hour and got caught by the police, don't drive 100 miles an hour. But if you were, got caught by the police and you had to go in front of the judge and the judge said, okay, you know, 3 months in jail, $1,000 fine, whatever it is. And then some person or maybe a attorney or whoever comes up and says, talks to the judge and, hey, you know, take care, and they come to an agreement. That's what Jesus did for us. We were enemies of God. Sin is upon us. Contrary to what people believe, well, he's a baby. He has no sin. He's so innocent. That's true. As soon as he gets something that looked like his, mine. And mine. Sin. Rebellion. No. No. We're enemies of Christ from the beginning. Now, they're cute and all, but let them go. And don't do what the word says to that baby. See what happened. Mine, no, becomes a whole lot more. Get to a certain age, they smacking you across the head, your own child. And then you're wondering, where'd that come from? That came from way down there. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. Read the word. It'll tell you what to do and how to raise your children. Now, you do it, even though you may have to get them, you get them with some compassion. But we have to recognize that sin was upon us from the very beginning. We were enemies of God. God sent his only son. This is how this works. He sent his only son to die for us so that we don't have to spend eternity in hell, in a lake of fire, in anguish, right? So we don't want to be Christians in name only. We want to be people that know that God cares for us, that he has our best for us. Whatever shouting I did, whatever I may have said up here that may not have been to somebody's liking, I'm not apologizing for it. Not going to do it. But what I will say is I hope and pray that you received of it. And if you don't believe in God, that you at least study this word. You know, now don't sit here and say, oh, well, I ain't got time for that. Because God is going to, you know, God is he records everything. Everything you say, everything you do. Read it for yourself. But you take this Bible and you put it up against any other religion, any other stuff. It doesn't do like the universal life church. Do what you want to do and whatever is right. It clearly marks everything out for you. And if you follow it, what you're going to see is a consistency of God. That he's consistent from the beginning to the end. And he takes care of his own. He disciplines his own, but he takes care of his own. And not only that, he gives us an atonement, an eternal atonement through Jesus Christ that is reliable so that we don't have to be Xenos, Christians in name only. We can be true Christians Not perfect. We make mistakes. We say things that we don't want to, that we shouldn't say sometimes, and do things that we don't want to do. But we don't do those things because we're trying to alienate ourselves from Christ. We do it because we're stuck in this thing, this body that we call flesh, that wants to do other things. But Jesus is there so that when we do those things, not because we're trying, but because we may have gotten off a little bit here, that we can go repent. And repent doesn't just mean, Jesus, I'm sorry, and then you go back and start doing other things. Repent means you ponder this, what you did. You put it before yourself. You put it out there and you say to yourself, Lord, this was wrong, and this will lead me to hell. I am not trying to spend eternity from you. This is what this consistency does. It keeps you in the presence of God. It keeps your mind, your heart, your will, your emotions sensitive to what the Holy Spirit says. Because if we do those things, we can't go wrong, guys. We might slip here or there, but we can't go wrong. But we have to learn the truth. We have to recognize that what we learn may have been off. We have to learn the truth. And we have to stay consistent in our learning. The devil wants to get us away from our regular study, our regular learning. He wants to tell you. He's probably telling folk, even now, I definitely in here, this is so mundane. This is so boring. I could be outside. It's springtime. It's so nice. Stay at it. Stay at it and know that God will keep you, and that when we talk and when we walk, people are not going to see a sino, but they're going to see a true Christian. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll get ready to dismiss. Father God, we thank you for this time, God. We praise you. We thank you for your word. And Father, even as we close out during this time of fellowship, Lord, help us to endeavor to be men and women that know you, that are enthralled to be called by you, and that we recognize, Lord, that you have given us free ability, the ability to think on our own. But Lord, that our thinking must be grounded, Heavenly Father, in your word, so that we do not get off into things that are not of you. Father, on that day when you call us in, Father, we want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So Lord, we thank you again for each person that is here, that has heard this word. Lord, we pray that again we will be strengthened, Heavenly Father, through our relationship with you. We pray traveling mercies, Heavenly Father, for those that are on their way home. And Lord, we thank you for those that are with us that are on the internet with us now. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.